These table and chairs that we're sitting at have a story.
Ooh,
you want to tell the story of the table and the chairs?
Well, let's quickly introduce ourselves so that everybody knows who we are. This is our first episode of Making Time for Jibber Jabber.
It's our pilot.
And and thank you so much for making the time and having the Jibber Jabber with us. So I'm Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
I'm Marion.
I'm Joyce.
Awesome. So what's the story with these chairs?
Well, the dining room set was my grandmother's.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
And, it's a nice solid table. It is a drop leaf table.
Oh, yes, it is.
With three chairs. So my grandmother used to clean houses when she was a teenager. And apparently the woman she cleaned for didn't have enough money to pay her, so she gave her the table and three chairs.
Why three?
That's all she had.
Oh, I see.
She didn't think she was worth four.
But my mother did go out and find the fourth chair to match.
Mm-hmm.
And so just recently, since Marion and I have chosen to share this abode, we needed a dining room set. So my mother sent it off to us. It's now ours.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's probably over 100 years old.
Wow.
My grandmother was in her late 80s when she passed, and she's been gone about 15 years.
Oh, wow. It's a nice chair. I mean, they don't build them like solid like this anymore.
Not like when they used to.
I know, right? Well, I'm saying that I have an IKEA table in my apartment, and I think, you know, I was going to say a gust of wind, but if you breathe on it the wrong way, you'll probably knock it flat.
You could glue that, you know, screws and glue. That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Actually, recently I moved in to a new apartment with a new roommate, and of all the things that I have, the number one thing that impressed her the most was my glider.
Really?
She called it a rocking chair, and I said, no,
it's a glider.
And she thought I was just being silly, but like,
no.
When you're sitting in it, you can feel the difference. There's a huge difference between a rocking chair and a glider.
It glides.
It glides. And you know the one I'm talking about.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because we used to be roommates. And it squeaks every time you shift your weight even slightly. And it's strange that of all the art that I've collected and all the things that I have in the world, it's the glider that impressed her the most.
Mm.
It's really peculiar.
Is she young?
She's about my age.
That's young.
I don't know how old you are.
That's young.
Young enough, yes.
Yeah, so early 30s?
I think she is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't gliders come out in the 80s?
Maybe.
They weren't around before that.
It's interesting to think of a time before gliders. It's like talking to people who are like 20 about a time before the internet.
I only just remember that. Mm-hmm. Only just, because I remember my stepfather worked in the tech industry. Well, he still works in the tech industry. He works for, I forget the company. But you know when you have a cell phone.
Do you actually forget the company, or are you editing it for the radio?
Both. So, so if you have a cell phone and you have it near a like a your old computer speakers, and it would always like go like the interference. Anyway, so what he does is he tests electronic devices for electronic radiation, essentially, because now it doesn't happen. They've improved the tech to the point that your cell phone won't interfere with speakers or other cell phones. And actually, it's why cell phones weren't allowed on aeroplanes, because it would interfere with...
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all a load of hogwash. Like, there hasn't been a cell phone built in 10 years that actually interferes with aeroplane landing mechanisms. But anyway, that's his job. And his lab was made entirely out of plastic, which is pretty cool. So the nuts and the bolts and the door and the floor and the ceiling and the walls and the chairs, everything was made out of plastic. So that the electromagnetic radiation wouldn't bounce off of anything.
Same thing is true about places where they make fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sparks.
Oh. Anyway, so he, back in the day, when the internet was like dial-up kind of really early days.
When you put the phone in the cradle and it goes...
You walk in and you're like, oh, I want to, you know, check my email. So you'll turn your computer on, you'll wander off, go make a cup of tea, come back, log in, go off, watch a TV show, come back, maybe check your email. Because it would take a long time.
Unplug the phone, plug in the computer.
Hope nobody tries to call you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of
just get
days.
A busy
yeah.
signal.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't really have busy signals. I mean, we technically have busy signals.
I don't think we do today. Anymore, do we?
Sort of, yeah.
Actually, my mother does.
My father does.
She doesn't have voicemail.
Right.
She does not have the caller ID.
Right.
And actually, when you're talking about the internet, she's in her 80s. She lives alone. My father's gone now. And she's on the call. She also has some challenges hearing. So typically when I'm there, she'll say, just a minute, let me talk, please talk to my daughter. But this day she didn't. She was on the phone about 30, 40 minutes. And I'm thinking, what the? You know? Mm-hmm. And what happens is she says at the end of the conversation, but I don't have a computer. Click. 40 minutes, this guy's trying to sell her high speed. True story.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
true story.
My mother has a landline.
Right.
I'm of the generation now where the landline kind of insults me. And I tell it because I am awful for answering my phone because I find telephones rude and demanding. It's like I require your attention right now. Answer me this very minute. And I'm like, I will answer you when I damn well please. You know, like, I will return your message when I get round to it. I find them very far too, you know, upfront. So I don't answer phone calls.
But how does a landline affect that?
So I don't have a landline, but my mother has a landline.
There's no texting. You can't, like, phone someone and then they
and
ignore
then
you.
Them.
And yeah. then you just text them and say, oh, I just wanted to say blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Because we have a mutual friend that only. Phones. Talk about Heather here.
Yes.
And she'll phone you, and you're just like, why is my phone... What is this? What is this weird sound?
Are you on fire? What's going on? Is there an emergency?
And she'll just be like, no, you know, next Sunday, I was a little bit bored. I was waiting for you to come over. It's odd.
So,
and, you know, you could have sent that to a text, and we could have
so
gotten back to it when available.
I'm at my mother's place, and there's this bing, 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 and I'm like, what on earth is that sound?
It's a phone with an actual bell inside.
She has an old school... ringing phone.
Good for her.
I'm like, what is that sound? And I pick it up, and my sister storms in, and she goes, hello? Like, what a rude way to answer the phone. And then she just starts shouting down the phone line.
Really?
And I'm like, who on earth is on the phone?
Right.
And it was an aqueduct servicing company, you know, that are, they've been fined.
Aqueduct?
Well, they suck your ducks.
Yeah, like a duck.
They suck your duck.
How much do they charge per hour?
D-U-C-T-S. Ducks, as in. Ducks. They suck them. And they always start right around wintertime because that's when we want our furnaces back on,
so,
right?
Yeah. Do you know how many ducks actually quack?
All of them?
No. Actually, it's complete. Only female mallards quack.
I feel like we've segued away.
Yeah, I know, but it's an interesting fact because most ducks don't actually make any noise. Only female mallards will occasionally make noise. But most common duck in the world is a mallard, so, you know, anyway. But I digress. So I'm like, who on earth is
so
phoning?
So your sister's screaming at duck suckers.
Yes, so she's screaming at the duck suckers. And I'm like, who on earth is that? And I pick it up, and then my mother goes, if you say, I want to talk to the manager, they hang up on you. So that they can dodge the law there, you know. Who is this? Any kind of details, they'll hang up on you. They're awful, awful people. And the CRTC has fined them tens of millions of dollars for these shenanigans.
Right.
And I said to my mother, like, put yourself on the do not call list. And they're like, well, Caitlin finds it a good stress relief to
lie. To yell at people.
To yell at people on the duck calling.
Talk to the duck suckers.
So something to bear in mind is that while all this is going on, we're also eating a meal. And currently we are having this really nice homemade tomato soup. What is the herbs in this? Because it's not just tomato. There's something else in here.
Tell your secrets, Marion. She never tells me.
I have to think for a minute.
Is it cumin?
No, there's nothing in it.
I find that
that can't delayed. Be just tomatoes, surely.
She's going
to onion.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Absolutely onion. Oops. Mm. I looked it up on the bleeding internet.
And did it go
vegetable broth, onion, and it's supposed to have some thyme in it, but I didn't have any. And it's supposed to have an avocado in it, but I didn't have any of those either, so you didn't
why
get any
you
of that.
Put avocado?
That's it.
Yeah.
You
just mix it in it.
That's it. There are no herbs in there. And you can take that. It's gluten free because obviously that's important.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Hopefully I wasn't a bother.
No, I love learning. No, I love to cook and I love learning new things. So
the number of times where people have said to me, "How do you make a gluten-free meal?" I am totally strapped. How do you do it?
It's called the internet.
Well, it's also
just don't add wheat.
Meat and potatoes.
Well, I know, but you know when you say don't add wheat, so many things that we cook with have.
Yeah.
Hidden things,
that reminds me of a very good story of it was St. David's Day, which is the patron saint of
Wales. Oh, I remember that.
St. David's Day?
Yeah.
What's that?
So it's like St. Patrick's Day but for Wales.
Yeah.
Or St. Andrew's Day. It's the patron saint of Wales.
Or Jean-Baptiste Day if you're French Canadian.
Absolutely. So it's St. David's Day and I'm inviting
I don't know what the tradition is other than getting drunk. I don't know what the Canadian... Yeah. What is the Jean-Baptiste tradition? You get drunk, you go in
melted
public.
Melted brie.
You yell at Anglophones.
Yes.
That's a thing.
You melt cheese.
You know we are recording.
You melt cheese every day.
That's why I knew it was a safe bet.
I don't think that your listeners are...
So anyway, it's St. David's Day. And I go way out of my way to make it work. So I was doing a potato bacon stew.
Because both myself and Heather were there. Yeah.
So 2 out of 4 people coming were gluten-free. So I do a potato bacon stew with like gluten-free potato chips. Because the stew is a really bacony flavor. Because I just put the bacon just straight in there.
And the weird thing about...
Broth and all.
I mentioned this before about Welsh soup. You've got bacon leek soup. You've got bacon potato soup. And you've got potato leek soup. But God forbid you put all three.
Well, I don't. I put bacon in almost anything, but that was just me. So, yeah. So,
but your bacon leek soup is really, really, really good.
It's the leek. It's the weakish onion that flavors the broth. But that's we're digressing
I
a little.
Struggle with the word leek. Of course you do.
So I do this, and I've got, like, gluten-free chips to, like, dip in the broth. And then I went out and I bought gluten-free bread for the Welsh rarebit, which is essentially just a fancy...
It's melted cheese on toast.
Grilled cheese with beer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's Welsh.
Yeah.
Except I forgot...
They won't eat it if it doesn't have beer in it.
Except I forgot that about the beer. So... I'm making
the beer in the Welsh rarebit.
No, no, I put it in. I just forgot the beer has wheat.
Oh!
So I've got gluten-free bread. And I've got, like, gluten-free everything. And I'm like, okay, I just need to put a bit of beer with the cheese to give it that melt. And a bit of, you know, Worcestershire sauce. And I mix it all up. And I put it in. And I bake it. And it's oozing and beautiful and juicy. And then... I serve it to both of them. They both, like, I'm not going to say you almost died, but you...
It was quite good.
It was. But it was...
Back in my I will eat anything days, I did make... I don't even remember what the event was, but I did prepare 2 days in advance cheese for a rarebit, where you take a very, very sharp cheese and you grate it fine, and then you mix in Guinness with it, or any stout, really.
No,
any
Guinness.
Well... Okay,
thank you.
I used a Guinness, but it's the general recipe is any stout.
Let's talk about dating.
Yeah.
Do you date? You've been single.
Next question.
He does date.
I'd just like to follow up on my phone calls that I received from Australia.
I wouldn't name names.
What is the update?
I'm not naming names.
But we'll if call you are in Australia and listening, you know who you are.
Mm.
We'll call them Sheila.
Sheila.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
Apparently, I pocket dialed an ex-partner.
Called Sheila.
This afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
God.
And I just received 5 calls saying, are you okay? And I said yes, sorry, and I got a thumbs up. My ex partner is in another continent. So that's what happened.
Wow. So, I mean, now you know if anything ever does go wrong, just pocket dial and they heaven and earth.
So you pocket dialed somebody, this person.
Yes.
Who happens to be away.
Yes, with their new partner.
So roaming charges be damned. she's called you back 5 times to see if there's an issue.
Yes.
See, you'd be lucky if I called local.
No, not even an issue if I'm okay.
That's the same thing.
That's true. Luke would send an email and then a Facebook message and then a follow-up Facebook message
and then just call it a day.
I don't have a story about dating, but I do have a story about dinner and follow-up that I'd really like
In
the meantime, maybe Luke could start with the jasmine rice and the butter chicken.
Ooh,
wonderful. All gluten-free.
What made you choose jasmine rice and butter chicken?
I googled it. I happen to have it all here in the house.
Okay. Well, that's not true. It's easy peasy for the most part, and we knew that it was gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the products also, from the company.
You're very happy with your British background, it seems.
Oh my gosh, why wouldn't I be? You want me to be American?
Should I pass it that way, or well, should
I? Are we going? Like to go
that way.
Go to the visitors.
Are we going sunwise or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dish up some curry, and I'll hand you.
Widdershins. Counterclockwise.
Yeah. Why would I put the curry not on top of rice?
Well, have some bloody rice. Yes. No.
So I just
God.
Really need to tell you this story.
Yeah,
I
do wish people could be here to see this.
Since I've told you a little bit about my mother and talking to the salesman telling him after 40 minutes that she didn't have a computer. I invited her to dinner.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I lived in Gatineau.
Okay.
And one of my dear friends, who identifies as transgender, came for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my friend's name, we shall call her Jeanette. Is that okay? Joan. Let's call her Joan.
Just don't call her Joanne.
Whom everyone knows. Stop it right now.
Okay.
We have a lovely dinner. And my mother.
I can't imagine why you invited Jeanette over.
So Joanne comes for dinner. We have spare ribs and rice or whatever. And it was a lovely meal. So I take my mother home and I go back to visit the next week. And my mother is almost pacing. She says, Joyce, I have something to ask you. And I said, okay. She said, it's about Joanne.
Jeanette.
Joanne, Joan, whoever she is. It's about Joanne. It's about Joan. And we all know.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So she's pacing. And it's really hard for my mother to get this out. And I'm thinking, oh, God, here it comes. My mother's really good. I go into her house and I say, what are you watching on TV, Mom? Oh, I'm watching a show about lesbians. Oh, that's good. My mom's in her 80s. And so she wants to ask me about Joanne.
Okay.
Joan, Jeanette, that person. And I said, well, what is it, Mom?
Apparently multiple personality disorders.
And I know it's coming. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to deal with this? She said, well, I don't know how to ask this. I said, oh, just ask it, Mom. It'll be fine. My mother says, why doesn't Joanne Jeanette Joanne have shoelaces in her shoes? I kid you not. True story.
And I bet that was keeping it up at night, you know.
It was bothering her, yes.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's a great story.
Joanne, Jeanette.
No, I know a very similar Joanne, Joette, Joanne, Jeanette.
Bloody hell. He has some wine.
And it amazes me. Jeanette has had amazing experience in the community, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But much like me, after a couple of
more
glasses
of wine...
More
positive than negative as well.
Absolutely,
which is astounding because she doesn't really pull her punches. When she wants to tell you something, she tells you that thing.
Yeah.
And if it offends you, that's your business. Mm-hmm. And...
But what I get the sense
you know
of
what I'm saying,
was that Joanne
Jeanette,
yeah.
Jean, yes.
Jay is incredible.
Yes.
And has done amazing good work, but kind of has stalled in terms of like where the movement is as of about maybe 15 years ago, and isn't on the same page as a lot of other people. So it astounds me when Jay is invited to speak on panels or as like the experts on things, and I'm like, now this individual is also, you know, going up in ages, and I think you know, age isn't agreeing particularly well. And it's just, it just boggles my mind.
I think it's because a lot of the political speakers on the issues can sometimes be abrasive. Whereas this person, I've actually spoken with her about this before, and she has a very strong policy that she gives you one screw up for free. Because she knows that throughout her life, she has been a lot of people's first trans-identified person. And people get it wrong. If you've never met someone before, you're going to get it wrong, and that's fine. She gives you one for free.
Yeah.
She'll gently correct you. The next two or three, if you still get it wrong, if you still use masculine pronouns or ask her what her male birth name was, she'll just very gently be like, well, you know, that doesn't really matter now because now I'm a woman, and that's fine. And if you're still doing it by the 10th time, that's when she starts getting less friendly with you. Yeah. And then beyond that, she starts calling you names and starts swearing and whatnot. But at first, she's very gentle, and there's not a lot of activists currently who have that policy.
Who have that, you're right.
Now, there are a few people like Amanda Ryan in charge of, not in charge of, but like heading Gender Mosaic.
Gender Mosaic, yeah.
She also has that policy. She knows she's quite often the first trans person that people have met.
Correct.
And she always gives people one for free. And there's not a lot of people who are like that. And I mean, at this point in time, I think it's pretty clear. We can just say Joanne. We won't say first name, last name. We'll just say Joanne. Is also fantastic for that, because I've seen her in the room where people say things that are strictly speaking not correct and possibly offensive, and she just sort of rolls with it.
Right.
And then says, well, I think what you meant to say was blah, blah, blah. And then she'll just keep going. And she will make a big deal out of it, and she'll just very gently correct people and just keep going. And so there is that sort of like soft-handed. She has the aura of your grandmother who doesn't want to be offended and doesn't let herself get offended, but she'll correct you. And if you keep going, she'll let you know you're wrong. And then if you really keep going, you know, that's when the harsh tones come out. But I think she's fantastic on panels because of that, because she's capable of basically being like, well, you know.
It's not very reflective of the current environment, but it's interesting because I know so many modern day activists where we were good friends with somebody.
If you stand up too quickly, they're offended.
But we were good friends with somebody who was exploring their gender identity at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew there was one thing, which was their birth identity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They called themselves Z.
And then I'm narrowing it down to two people, but going. Because this is not uncommon.
Yeah, so they went by a letter instead of a name, and I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, how should I, you know, pronoun you? And they're like, you know, I don't have that really nailed down at the moment. I'm like, okay, cool. Should I just roll with what I've always done? And they're like, yeah, whatever. So we walk into a pub. We're asking them questions, you know, are you going to do that thing we're going to do? And they're halfway through answering, and somebody interjects and just railroads it, being like, you mispronounced them, you know, you got this wrong.
Right,
their identity is now X. How could you be so dismissive?
Dismissive.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I didn't get the memo of the day. Like, I'm sorry, you know. It's like, and I think what that reflects is, you know, they hold you to the highest bar that only they know about. And it's really quite tragic. Now, we worked, both Joyce and myself worked with the Honor Police Liaison Committee. And we know that when the police come across, like, you know, you could be policing rural Renfrew or like the Uwarowa campus and like a trans person in Renfrew and a trans person in, you know, Uwarowa, almost very likely be very different people.
Oh, very,
very different people.
Very different.
And, you know, you can't hold them to the same level, but it's that town to gown, that right. kind of assuming superior knowledge, holding right. people to
yeah.
language and knowledge that they just don't know, and it's very unfair, very unfair.
My good friend Kevin Hatt, who I've worked with on Pride and Capital Pride and the GLBT Community Center here in Ottawa, his line is, there is always somebody just waiting to be offended. And it's almost like they're waiting in the wings. Just it's more like, waiting to be offended.
It's more like they're already offended.
And they just, need somewhere to
they're just waiting,
spew it.
Yeah, waiting for a direction to yeah. direct it, yeah.
I worked for Rogers, the call center, out on Blair Road for many years. And I was there when they brought out the new Pride Channel. It wasn't called Pride Channel then. It was called...
Is it OTV?
Out TV.
Yeah.
And we had to go to a special training about Out TV. Because when it first came out, it was $15 a month. It was, right? So there was how to add it, how to promote it, how to sort of do all that. So there were three or four teams of us, which meant about 30 people down in the training room. And the woman doing the training was from the head off from the service office over on Richmond Road there, where they do all the cable service stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked like a little dyke. I was a bit surprised by her the things she was saying. And she was teaching us about Out TV. And everybody on my team knew I was lesbian and I was very out at work, and that wasn't an issue with anybody on my team. And so she's taking questions, you know, are there any questions? And some woman across the table from another team says, why do they have to have their own network? And there's a woman on my team, big, big woman, black woman, and I felt her hand, she was sitting beside me, and her hand just reached onto my knee and grabbed it, like, sit, right? Don't say a word. She knew I was going to be over that table. And the answer that the trainer gave was, well, those people have a certain lifestyle, and they like to see it on television. And then the question...
That's a very gray answer where it could be offensive or could be positive.
Yeah, that's why the big black hand was ripping my knee. And then the next question from the same woman across the table was, well, why is it so expensive at $14.95 a month for those people?
That is not an offensive question. That is valid, I believe, yeah.
And I thought that was a valid question. The answer was, well, those people can afford it because... Of course, they don't have children.
Oh my
because
God.
Because they can't have children.
I mean, it's right? interesting because it literally it's one or the other. Because mm-hmm. in the gay community, you either have two usually affluent gay men, double earners, no outputs.
Kids. Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the pink dollar.
Right.
But you also have massive...
abject poverty.
Yeah, you're saying underemployment, you know, unemployment.
I raised
you know,
my children
absolutely.
In poverty. Yeah.
You know, it literally, there's yeah. no middle ground. It's one or the other.
Well, the hand on my knee tightened.
The worst part is that it's also true about intelligence.
Yes.
If you look at gay men and lesbians, they're either like above mm-hmm. average or yeah. like, oh, you yeah. graduated high school? How?
Yeah.
There's no gray.
I actually, what I ended up doing was I left the room because if I didn't leave the room, I was going to explode. And I knew I wasn't the only GLBT person in there, but I was the only out one
yeah.
in
yeah.
there. And I went up to my manager and I said, this is what's happening down in that training room.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time I've ever been impressed by Rogers, mind you. I worked there 7 years. She went, she got her supervisor. They went down to the room and removed the trainer and finished the training.
Wow.
I was so impressed.
Wow, well done.
And I have to give them credit where credit
what
is due.
What year was that?
Wow.
Like the ballpark.
2004?
I think maybe? The only time that Rogers...
I mean, we could look up
yeah.
when the network
well,
came
I mean,
out.
It's, I ask because, I mean, at one point... the gay community got particularly litigious. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we were quite...
Specifically towards Rogers?
No, everybody.
Everybody.
You're talking about the early
yeah.
90s?
Well, when shortly after sexual orientation was added to the Canadian Human Rights Act.
2005.
Yes. So then we had legal standing
yeah.
to take people to
when
court.
When was GLAAD formed? Gays and Lesbians Against
oh,
Defamation.
Oh, gosh. that's been around forever, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and Egal is an old one.
Because GLAAD ramped up very slowly. At first, yes. they're like, be nice, guys. And then around the early 2000s, they're like, we have 50 lawyers. I'm how many lawyers do you have? We have 50. 50 lawyers? You have 50 lawyers? We have 50 lawyers. And they just went, whoa!
I'm sure they've been around since at least the 80s.
Okay.
I'm sure.